This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. And now an update on a story we brought you a few weeks ago about some immigrant families in New Bedford, Massachusetts. That's where police staged a big raid on a leather goods factory last summer. NPR's Claudio Sanchez reported on how the community was affected. Well, since that story, some of the 361 workers who were caught and deported have made their way back to reunite with their families. And today, Claudio has the story of one of those families and how they're facing a new tragedy.
When we first met Dominga and her 4-year-old son, Mauricio, they were in hiding. She had run out of money and pulled her son out of school. Her husband, Ricardo, had been deported, and Dominga was uncertain if she'd ever see him again. She did. But 12 hours after he had arrived back in their New Bedford apartment, Ricardo died in Dominga's arms. She sits in a funeral home, sobbing quietly. Ricardo, in a black suit and tie, lies in a wooden coffin. 2 small vases with flowers still wrapped in cellophane on either side. About 20 relatives and friends pray for Ricardo's soul. On March 6th of this year, 41-year-old Ricardo Gomez Garcia was arrested at Michael Bianco Incorporated, a defense contractor in New Bedford, which produces safety vests and backpacks for U.S. troops in Iraq. Ricardo entered the U.S. illegally back in 1994 and had been working at Bianco less than 2 months when U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents raided the place. After his arrest, Ricardo spent the next 6 months in a detention facility in El Paso, Texas, before he was deported on August 30th. Back home in Zacualpa, Guatemala, his mother sold her house for $5,000 so that Ricardo could pay a coyote, a smuggler, to sneak him back into the United States. He crossed at the Arizona-Mexico border and arrived in New Bedford on October 28th, a Sunday.
Tocó la puerta a las 3 de la mañana. Solo abrí la puerta yo. ¿Quién? Le digo. Yo, me digo. Ábreme la puerta rápido.
His wife, Dominga, says he knocked at the door at 3 o'clock in the morning. Let me in before anybody notices that I'm back, he pleaded. He had not slept or bathed in over a week. After he showered, Ricardo hugged and kissed his son, but refused to eat. Dominga says she had never seen him so tired, thin, and pale. He told her about the 3 dead bodies he had seen in the Mexican desert, not far from the Arizona border. They were in plastic bags, still warm. You shouldn't have touched them, Dominga told him. He also told her about the voices he had heard along the way, voices of old people beckoning. The voices kept him from sleeping. How strange, Dominga remembers thinking. She gave him some tea mixed with cough medicine for his sore throat, and later a bowl of oatmeal which he barely touched. Dominga insisted on taking him to the emergency room. He refused. She said Ricardo had always been healthy and had never been hospitalized for anything during their 20-year marriage. I'll be fine, he told her. Besides, the hospital is going to ask me all kinds of questions. And how are we going to pay the hospital bill if neither one of us is working, he asked. Then, out of the blue, Ricardo asked Dominga if she had ever cheated on him. No, she told him. Look me in the eyes and tell me, he insisted. Why don't we just pray and thank God that you're back with us again, she asked him. They knelt at the foot of their bed and prayed to the Virgin Mary and cried. Don't cry, Ricardo told her, squeezing her hand tightly. Like he was saying goodbye, says Dominga. Eventually, she dozed off, until she heard Ricardo in a panic, struggling to open their 2-story apartment window, wanting to jump. What are you doing? She screamed. I need air, he said. I need air. She pulled him away from the window. Water, give me water, he told her. She did, but he couldn't swallow. Dominga says Ricardo then tried to put his hand down his throat, as if he was trying to remove something. He started bleeding from his nose and mouth. Then he collapsed in her arms. Ricardo died before the paramedics could get him to the emergency room. Cause of death? An acute airway obstruction, according to the medical examiner's report. Guatemala's Consul General in Providence, Rhode Island, has arranged for Ricardo's body to be sent back to Guatemala. but he has declined to look into Ricardo's death. New Bedford's Guatemalan community helped raise the $4,000 Dominga needed for Ricardo's funeral. Plastic jars in restaurants and small Latino businesses throughout town filled quickly after word of Ricardo's death had spread. The raid that shut down the Michael Bianco leather goods factory 9 months ago, though, is not something people want to talk about anymore. The owners have sold the company and are now awaiting trial. They could face a minimum of 10 years in prison for knowingly hiring illegal workers. The new owners, Eagle Industries of Fenton, Missouri, have vowed to hire only legal U.S. residents. None of that, of course, changes the fact that Ricardo's dead, says Corin Williams, a friend of Dominguez and head of a nonprofit economic development group in New Bedford. Standing outside the funeral home, Williams says Ricardo's death is just one more story.
It's a story of the devotion of people to their family and to being united with their family. And it didn't matter whether he risked his life to cross the desert and then lost his life.
Gloria Santa Maria, Madre de Dios, ruega por nosotros pecadores ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte.
Williams excuses herself and goes back inside, where people are still praying over Ricardo's body, which is due to arrive in Guatemala this week. Dominga won't be at his burial. She's afraid that she wouldn't make it back to New Bedford if she left. I'm both mother and father now, says Dominga. 2 months ago, when we first met her, Dominga was sure she'd be back in Guatemala with her husband by the end of the year. Today, she's convinced that her 4-year-old son would not survive in Guatemala. Here, he's enrolled in a special program in the public schools and getting the medication he needs for his epilepsy and learning disabilities. It would be impossible to get any of that in Guatemala, she says. New Bedford is our home now. Claudia Sanchez, NPR News.